a grenade launcher. Eight other men dressed in jungle BDUs and floppy hats sat on the gunwales of the rubber combat raiding craft they would soon launch off the Mark V, and went over their equipment for at least the 10th time. Their faces were smeared with warlike green and black camouflage paint, but their expressions were calm. Lieutenant Jim DeVolis looked down at his SEAL squad and watched them go through their last check. The group was traveling light tonight, no MREs, only a couple of power bars for each man. The plan was to be in and out before the sun came up, just the way the SEALs liked it. The tension grew as they neared the demarcation point. DeVolis was glad to see that the jawjacking had subsided. It was time to get serious. A firm hand fell on DeVolis's shoulder. He turned to look at the captain of the boat.
2 minutes out, Jim. Get your boys loaded up.
DeVolis nodded and then turned to his men. With his forefinger pointed straight up, he made a circular motion, and the SEALs instantly got to their feet. A moment later, the boat slowed to just under 5 knots. The Mark V, in addition to being extremely fast, also came with a slanted aft deck that allowed it to launch and receive small craft without stopping. Without a word, the men grabbed the sides of their black CRRC with the 40-horsepower outboard leading and walked down the aft ramp. The men stopped at the end of the ramp just shy of the Mark V's frothy white wake and set the rubber boat on the non-skid deck. A crew member from the Mark V held onto the rubber boat's bow line and looked for each man to give him a thumbs up. All 8 men were low in the boat, clutching their handholds. One by one, they returned the sign. The call came over the headset that the launch was a go, and the crewman tossed the bow line into the boat. A second crewman joined the first, and together they shoved the black rubber boat down the ramp and into the relatively warm water. The small rubber boat slowed instantly, the SEALs hanging as far to the aft as possible to prevent the bow from submarining. The boat rocked gently in the wake of the Mark V, and no one moved a muscle. The men lay perfectly still, listening to the ominous moan of the Mark V as it sped away. Not one of them had any desire for the boat to return until they needed it. They looked forward eagerly to carrying out their mission. Unfortunately, they were all unaware that thousands of miles away, they'd already been fatally compromised by someone from their own country. Anna Riley drifted in and out of sleep, the warm sun enveloping her in a hazy dream. Her bronzed skin glistened with a mixture of sweat and sunscreen. A slight afternoon breeze floated in off the ocean. It had been the perfect week. Nothing but food, sun, sex, and sleep. The ideal honeymoon. A small resort on a remote Caribbean island with their own secluded cabana, gravity pool, and beach. Total privacy. No TV, no phones, no pagers. Just the two of them. She opened her eyes a touch and looked down at her wedding ring. She couldn't help but smile. It was a perfect diamond set in an elegant platinum Tiffany setting. Not too big, not too small. Just right. Most important, though, it was from the right man. The man of her dreams. She was now officially Mrs. Anna Rapp. Mitch had been a little surprised that she'd taken his name without so much as a word of debate. She was a feminist, after all, with definite liberal leanings, but she could also be an old-fashioned romantic. The truth was, she could think of no other man she respected more. It was an honor to share his name. Professionally, though, she would keep her maiden name. As the White House correspondent for NBC, she already had name recognition and a solid career. It was a good compromise, and Mitch didn't object. Anna had always clung to the notion that one day she'd fall in love and have a big wedding back at St. Anne's in Chicago. It was where she'd been baptized and confirmed, and where she and her brothers had gone to grade school. But in the months after they got engaged, she could see that this was an idea Mitch was less than enthusiastic about. Mitch Rapp did not like being the center of attention. He was a man who was used to working behind the scenes. Her husband had been a covert operative for the CIA since the age of 22, and the harsh reality was that in some circles, he was known as an assassin. In the months before their wedding, during the confirmation hearing from Mitch's boss at the CIA, a member of the House Intelligence Committee had leaked Mitch's story to the press in an attempt to derail Irene Kennedy's nomination as the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency. The president had come to both Rapp and Kennedy's defense, and a version of the truth was released to the media. The president